Blog Talk Radio.
There's a gift, there's a light in your heart. You just can't contain it. When we all play our part around the world, it's just so amazing. With our hands and our hearts, we can build this bridge together. With our wisdom and through our art, we can make a change for the better.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Now Time Radio. This is your host, Audrey Scott Williams. We're going to try this one more time. We're having a little technical challenge in the studio, getting our caller online. This is Audrey Scott Williams with Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio, formerly Life Conversations Radio, now Time Radio. We have been on air now for almost 4 years, and we are very excited that every Friday we have an opportunity to bring to you the wisdom teachings of all those peacemakers out there who are expressing peace in all different fashions, whether it's through their musical abilities or through their poetic expression, through their art, and through their activist roles. We are going to be bringing forward in a moment Walks on Water, who will be our special guest today, and we're going to ask you to enjoy some of the sounds that we have available to you as we prepare for our guest, Walks on Water.
There's a gift, there's a light in your heart. You just can't contain it. When we all play our part around the world, it's just so amazing. With our hands and our hearts, we can build this bridge together.
Devotion, we
can make a change for the better.
Criticize or engage in change. Let's choose to engage and change the world one step at a time here on Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Now Time Radio. Thanks for your patience as we work through a little technical challenge in the beginning, but hey, that's what it's all about, overcoming any obstacle on our path because we keep our eye on the prize. And today I am truly honored. That we have my dear sister, Walks on Water, on our show. Some of you may remember her as Natasha Hummingbird. I am just truly honored. She has gifted us with so much beautiful music, so much inspirational healing, and now shares with us a new in her journey as she engages her poetic expression. Welcome, Walks on Water, to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio.
Thank you so much, Echo Key. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be in the breath of the oneness of the Divine Mother at this moment with y'all.
All right. Yeah, I've been waiting all week just for us to have this conversation, and because I know that when we start talking, it gets deep. So you continue to be an inspiration for me on my path. And so I want to take the time to really share your wonderful gifts with our listening audience. So I thought we could begin Walks on Water with, why don't we begin at the beginning and kind of work forward as we journey through how Divine Spirit, Holy Mother, has worked through you on your life journey, sort of lighting the path for not only yourself, but so many others to follow in your footsteps. So what were the earliest influences on you musically and spiritually?
The earliest influence on me musically and spiritually was my mother, Montenegro Woman. She was so extremely grounded in her sense of identity, in her sense of responsibility to her community, in her sense of gratitude through art and culture. She took it very seriously, and she knew that it was important to constantly be in a state of creation, because that's how she felt we show our gratitude for our gifts, for even our breath, is to constantly be busy. When you wake up in the morning, your feet hit the floor, and you are busy until you get back in the bed.
I can hear that.
Yeah, she was constantly creating, and she was constantly self-creating, you know, because she's not a person that had any formal training, but she's a person that trusted that ideas and creativity and abilities come from the divine. So they're open to everybody. You know, there's no such thing as anyone not being creative or anyone not having the ability to manifest. It's not possible as far as my mother was concerned. And so she spread out beyond herself. She spread her wings far and wide and allowed everyone to get up under those wings and get some nurturing and some food and some counseling, and it just never stopped. It just, I mean, my house was always full of people. My mother cooked a whole lot of food on Sunday because she said there's always, you always got to have extra food if people come by and they need some nourishment.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, she certainly walks on water, touched so many lives. And I think about all of us together who are continuing on this path of metamorphosis as we blossom into our own divine light. She touched so many of us in so many ways. And I think really ushered in a new era for those of us who were, one, struggling with identity between, you know, our African origins, our native origins, and what did all that mean. She gave us permission to express both without apology. And then through that took us deep into rituals and ceremonies that helped us to reconnect. And I see you stepping in that role as yourself, you know, and taking it even to the next level. And so I wanted to just say thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. No thanks needed. It's just the guidepost that she was. I know how to be because I saw her be. And I believe personally that every generation has a responsibility to take it further and deeper. I believe that every generation has to take what they are given and then go out into the wilderness, come back with something, and then say to their mother, "Ma, look what I found. Oh, my God, come with me."
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what I did with her because I stopped eating pork when I was 23, pigs and cows, not knowing at the time that pigs and cows and chickens were not in America before the British came here. So it's not actually in our DNA to eat certain things. We'll have some physiological problems from, you know, stretching out and eating things that eating for your bloodline that it doesn't encompass. I saw the same thing in Africa, in West Africa. The diet didn't include eggs, milk, butter, cheese, bread, and sugar. And so we would be, as an African Native people, better off if we went back to a diet that was simpler and that was more for our, you know, our DNA. And so when I said to her, "Listen, Ma, everybody in your family is dead from eating pigs and cows, high cholesterol, stroke, heart attack. Okay, we mustn't eat that anymore. It's not for us. Come with me." And she ran with me. I told her, "Come on, let's run for freedom." And she ran with me. Create a newer diet and a newer life and a stronger, healthier her. And it was like, woohoo!
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, we see that Walks on Water in my, on the shows that we've done over the years. More and more recently, there's been a lot of exchange and dialogue around diet. And one of the things that we see in our families, particularly of color, is the impact of, one, wrong diet, and two, an ever-increasing dependency on pharmaceuticals. And the two together are actually creating a death sentence for so many of our people who are dying too young. So I want to just say that because what you're talking about is crucial. I think the recognition of who we are, and then beginning to unravel all the bad habits that we've developed so that we can be stronger physically, mentally, and emotionally, and we can live the longevity that I believe is available to us.
Exactly. Because, you know, when mommy passed away because we had a car accident, but she was already 78, she wasn't taking any medicine, and she didn't have any medical challenges.
Right.
She was in good shape, good health, good mental capacity, everything. She had no physical challenges. And that's because she took the responsibility to eliminate things from her diet that her ancestors had not been ingesting.
Yes.
She believed in exercise. She believed in staying busy, reading, doing beadwork, you know, working. And she was a competition powwow dancer until she passed away. So she still had limbs and everything.
Right.
So she
I remember,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I remember that spirit coming through I think it was right after she started the development of Mountain Eagle Place.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she said to me once, you know, when she was showing me the land, we were walking, and she says, you know, people might think I'm crazy at my age for buying this land and starting this venture, but it just seems to be the right thing to do, you know? And it was like another expression of her moving forward. And I think she did that with the sense that she would be passing it on, but that was indeed a part of her legacy.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a part of her continuing legacy to be available to the community, to assist the community in leaving spiritual practices that do not assist us in our evolution,
mm-hmm.
and in leaving a concept of guilt and hell and damnation, and coming
mm-hmm.
into an ideology of oneness with the divine mother, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's just so beautiful. And so for me, there was nothing for me to do but to continue on with that, and take what she had given me, and then give my newness to it. And
yes.
Now I'm 62, and I have daughters that are 30 and 26. And, you know, Mahatra, 2-3 Buffalo, she's, you know, stepping into her next evolution of herself. So mommy set the pace, and all we have to do is really follow the road and then keep bringing the newness of our own generation into it to keep energizing it.
Right.
I wanted to read something for you that had come to me concerning our relationship with the divine.
Oh, please do. Mm-hmm.
I so deserve your blessings because I am part of you. You are within every cell of my being. You are the wind I feel on my skin, the rain, the air I breathe, the very earth I walk upon. It is my birthright to know you through your creation. You created me to enjoy the elevation and evolution of my soul. This is our relationship with each other. I so deserve to experience your glory, your peace, your light out of the darkness of the womb self. I so deserve your joy, your state of grace, your compassion. I am yours and you are mine. There is no longing to be with you. I am with you, with every beat of my heart and with every breath I take. You have constructed me to know you as myself, and I can never be separated from you. My womb is the seat of your holy manifestation on the physical plane. It is you who breathe life into this beautiful body and into the precious bodies of those I carry with me in my dreams, those divine darlings that I held safe in my holy of holies, waiting for you to open the door and to let the crystal waters flow freely down the canal of mystery, bringing with it the sapphire, ruby, amethyst, jade songs of my heart. Oh, holy divine Mother God, thank you. Thank you, Yakuki, thank you. We are one.
Wow, that's beautiful. Let's take pause just one moment as we let that settle in, and we'll be right back on Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. Walk on Water, that was from the Now Times CD, the song that we call Ascension. And as you know, that featured your mom, Mountain Eagle Woman, you, Mamuna, and so many others in the studio that day. And your sharing brought us right into that moment.
It was so beautiful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, you, as we talk about your legacy through your mother and all the various influences, you and Mamuna and now Navasha have started three generations, and you're bringing so much beautiful music connecting our ancestry, a cappella. How did you, let's just talk about how that evolved, that project evolved.
Well, actually, three generations was started by Mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Mamuna's 26 now, so when Mamuna was 11, Mommy said, and what happened is that Mommy had broken her hip, so I packed up all my children and moved down south to, you know, to take care of her. And then, you know, right away she got well. And so we were all living down south, you know, close to each other. And she said that I must leave something because the music on the radio is creating a very low vibration for the young people. And I want to start a group with us. And she called it Three Generations. And so it was comprised of Mountain Eagle Woman, myself, Mahatra, Mamuna, and Sequoia. And so we started rehearsing. She wanted to leave these songs from the old days so that the children would be able to find solace and peace and spiritual evolvement through sound, because she saw that the record industry was creating a sound that was only touching the first chakra, and it wasn't moving up to the heart. It wasn't moving to a sense of true expression. It wasn't moving to the third eye. And so that's how Three Generations got started. And so we sang with Mommy, and, you know, she directed, you know, what she was being given for us to do. And that went on until she passed away in 2000. And then when she passed away, I was so sad. I mean, I had lost my best friend. I had lost the only person that I could really trust all of my pieces with. And I couldn't sing. I couldn't go on stage and sing. I only could sing in the sweat lodge for her. And then maybe 3 years ago, I was given, I heard, I could feel Mommy saying, get the group started back. And I said to Mamuna, Mamuna, let's put Mommy's group back together. She says, well, I don't know. I'm trying to get my album done. And then Navasha, I had mentioned it to her as soon as Mommy passed away. So once a year, for 9 years, Navasha would call me and say, are we going to do the album yet? And I'm like, soon come, baby. Not yet. I'm not ready yet. But Navasha, just once a year, she would just call and say, Mom, I'm calling about the album. We're going to do it to honor Grandma. And I'm saying, okay, soon. And then all of a sudden, it happened that soon came. And Mamuna had a vision of Mommy right after I asked her, and Mommy told her, get my album done right now. And we went to Navasha and said, okay, it's time is now. And so then we got together to see how we could fit Navasha into the group, you know, because Mommy was a contralto. And it turns out that Navasha is also a contralto.
Mm-hmm.
And she's Native American, and she was raised in a family of singers. And so it couldn't have been more perfect, because all three of us, me, Navasha, and Mamuna, are all lead singers. So when we get on stage together, it's just like a powerful explosion of sound.
It really is. It really is. And if anybody is interested, and I encourage everybody who will listen to this show, whether it's today or in the future, to go to, I've been enjoying you on YouTube, Three Generations with a Z instead of an S, and it's the number three, right?
No, it's the word three.
The word three. Okay, the word three, three generations with a Z, and you can see some of the live performances of three generations. Incredible.
And they can buy our EP on our iTunes also.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
so,
they can download it on iTunes.
All right, so you can download it on iTunes. So let's support the work of three generations. And I know that you've been in studio completing the album. And so we are all looking forward to that.
Yeah, we were just in there Monday.
Uh-huh. When do you think it'll be out?
Well, we've got all the songs done. We have just the music to put to one other song, the song that we actually did on your album, Oklahoma Trek.
Yes.
So I had Mamuna send the vocal track to my brother today because I want him to do the guitar rhythm and lead on the album.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I have a younger brother, well, a guitar player who lives in New York. So it looks like the next gig we do, we'll have enough money to package it.
All right. Well, we want to stay in touch. So as soon as it's available, we got to have you back on Peace Talks on Now Time Radio so that we can share those sounds with our listening audience,
yes,
who I'm sure will be transformed. You know what I want to do? I want to play a piece from your daughter Mamuna,
mm-hmm,
album, Mamuna Youssef, who was on the show,
yes,
last week, called The Knowing. And we're going to take a break and do that. And when we come back, I want to maybe fast forward a little bit because I really want to get into your poetic expression.
Okay.
Walked on water. I know that there's been so much of a transformation, and you always, you know, approach it with so much freedom, and out of that process just comes such a gift to us. So I want to spend the last half hour on the show just talking about your poetry and how you connected with that, and maybe even hear you do some pieces live. We have two pieces that you sent to me, and so we're going to play those as well. So we're going to have a good time, but let's kick it off with The Knowing from the CD, The Blooming, from Mamuna Youssef.
Listen. Listen and remember. Remember when the sound of birds singing wrapped itself around your heart so tenderly that you became soft and moist and liquid as a tear. And that tear became a rushing river that knew no boundaries. It tore your shoreline loose as it ran freely through every cell in your body, then exploded into light.
Been listening to The Knowing from the CD The Blooming by Mamouna Youssef, and you just heard Walks on Water, sharing her gift of poetic expression. Welcome back to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. Walks on Water, how did you go from music, which you've done so beautifully over the years, to the depth of the poetry that song speaks to, that you read earlier? What was the turning point for you in that, or I should say just an extension of what you've been doing all along, that you're finding your voice now in spoken word?
Well, I had written intermittently all along. Like, I had never really enjoyed going to school, so as soon as, you know, when you're in middle school, you can check in and change classes. So I used to check in and walk out the door and go back home.
Yeah.
So I was so annoyed. And as a child, you can't explain why you're annoyed. And, of course, my mother comes from a southern, agricultural family. So for them, their generation, like, education was the key. And I was like, I'm so not interested. And she's sort of like, I don't understand that. How could that be? And I didn't know why I wasn't interested until, you know, later on as I was an adult. And I realized I wasn't interested because they didn't include me. Everything they were saying, it didn't include me. So if you're not going to include me, then I don't really want to hear what you're saying. And
yeah.
So I used to just write, you know, just all I had, just, you know, books, just writing my thoughts and my aggravation. And my boyfriend went to Vietnam when I was still in high school. He was 2 years older than me. He graduated and went to Vietnam. And I started writing to him. That's when I realized that I was actually a writer, that words and me had some symbiotic relationship. I never would have known it other than that, because I avoided school like the plague. I didn't do any homework. I didn't care. I didn't show up. I only went to home economics and choir. And so the writing, it would come every now and then. I would write a song maybe once every 4 years or a poem. You know, it didn't have any consistency. It just would come out of my thoughts or whatever. But it wasn't, I didn't think of myself as a writer. And in 2009, I experienced some problems with my bones. My body stopped absorbing vitamin D. I bit into an apple and my teeth broke out. I was having problems, you know, my legs were aching. And I didn't know what was wrong with me, because I have, like, you know, a good diet, and, you know, I do yoga at least once a week, and I always am trying to keep, and I just, like, my body was just, like collapsing. It was just, like, bending in on itself. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I ran to the acupuncture doctor and said, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And he did the kinesiology on me, and he says, for some reason, your body is not absorbing vitamin D. You need much more sun. And I was shocked, because, like I said, I have, like, a really good diet. Like, there's tons and tons of other stuff that people eat. I don't even touch any of that. And so I started thinking to myself, okay, so what does that mean? And this was, like, in November. What does that mean? That means that I have to leave and go somewhere where there's sunny. So I'm thinking in my mind, where to go? Jamaica, Africa, where to go? And then someone reminded me that we had a friend that had left Baltimore and moved to Hawaii. And so I called him and said, listen, I'm having this little bone problem, and I'd like to come out there and just see if I can get myself healed up. His name is Kauna. He lived in Baltimore. I knew him, you know, for many, many years. And he's like, sure, queen, come on. I get to Hawaii. As soon as I get there, as soon as I step on the aina, that's what they call the land, I knew then that my name would be changed there, and I knew that I had a relationship with that land that was from another time.
Wow.
And I ended up, I was at his house one night, and a woman came there. Her name is Uliai. And she bought this land and created this wonderful healing retreat center there. And we were together, you know, at his house, and she says to me, I had a vision that the land must change. I've had it for 25 years. The vision I had is that it must accommodate families and children. I have no children. I know nothing about that. They told me I need an elder grandmother to come and oversee the change. Would you come and live with us and be that person? And I said to her, oh, yes, I'm that person. And so I moved to this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful healing land by the ocean, right on the edge of a cliff. I was living in a hut with no electricity, no windows, no doors. Like, you could just, from outside, you could just step in there, and I'm on a little perch sleeping, you know. And it was the most healing and opening and releasing experience that I'd ever had in this lifetime. I've gone through many transitions in this lifetime. This, by far, was the most powerful and the most constant and the most elevating. Like, I could feel my snake medicine transmutating constantly. I was just shedding skin and releasing things that I had felt the need to hold on to. So many things concerning my father, the leaving of my mother, the marriages, the being colonized, and just having a concept of being colonized. And I could hear mother speaking to me. I stood on the edge of the cliff every day to listen to her talk to me through the ocean. And she says to me, if you want to let it go, I'll take it.
Mm.
And she began to say things like, you know, don't make separation in my creation. Everything has a purpose. There's only oneness. There's only the one. And I began to find childhood anxieties that were coming up. And she would say to me, do you want to keep it or give it to me? I'll take it. And one by one by one, I began to release all of the layers of things that can get on a person in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be living on the jungle side of Maui, where there's no lights, no taxis, no stores, nothing but organic farms and hippies. And I became the mother of all of those hippie children I was living with. And the woman that owns the land, once we got settled in there, she left and went back to New Zealand. So we began to run the place and take care of the people that came to stay, and I was in charge of the kitchen, so I cooked for whoever came through there. And I sent all of my love and all of my desire for one human family and all of my prayers into the food. And then all of a sudden, I started getting all of my half-written songs done. All this poetry started flowing through me, and I could tell it was the mother using me as her mouthpiece, like using my body and my ability to write, you know, as her mouthpiece, because I had written a piece saying, I'm a singer who never sings. I'm a writer who doesn't write. I'm a painter who doesn't paint. I'm a cook who doesn't want to eat. So that was the frustration I was living under for so many years. And then I said, but there is one thing I do. I drink tea.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole piece came about tea and just the expression of tea and what tea brings, and, you know, the leaves and the water seem like they're separate from each other, but when they come together, they marry and become something that is so rich and so healing and so nurturing to you. So all of these thoughts began to pour out, and I began to sing again. I mean, really, really sing. And then among these people I was living with, these children, these beautiful beings, these star people, they used to get together every Sunday. And one of the you know, us in the valley would cook. Everybody would buy the food, you know, and then we would get together and sing until midnight or 1 o'clock. And then we'd take our flashlights and walk down the dark road back to whatever farm we was working on. And so I was living on work trade. You give your work for the ability to stay somewhere. And so I was cooking to live at this wonderful, magnificent, healing heaven. And it broke me down to my least common denominator. It shed all of my skin off. It It raked away all of my sadness. The night that Mommy died was May 11th, and I told them I got to get to the end of this grieving, and they said, well, you should sleep in a cave. And so they hoisted me down the side of a mountain by putting a rope on a tree with my sleeping bag and my drum and left me in that cave for 24 hours.
Wow.
The children came and said to me, Mommy, there's a young man here on the island who his mother died on his birthday, and he needs to get past that so that he can enjoy his birthday without grieving so. And he has arranged to have an elder from the mainland, a Native American grandfather, come to do the peyote ceremony for him. He wants you to come and sit in peyote with him all night to assist him. I mean, all of these things just came through, and it was so healing for me. I came to support him, and I finished with my grieving and got to the other side and was given so many visions in the peyote ceremony. And the writing just kept coming and just coming and just kept coming and just kept coming.
Wow. Well, you know what I would like to do, Tosca? Let's take a break here. So hold that thought, because I know we're coming close to the end of the show, and I want to play the first piece that you sent me. I didn't have a title on it, so I'll play it, and then you can tell us about that, because I want to see, I want our listening audience to capture that experience and now to see the flowering of it. So you're listening to Now Time Radio. This is Peace Talks with Audrey Scott Williams. We're going to listen to Walks on Water, a piece that she just recently recorded. Here we go.
I sit meditating. Ants use my body as their landscape. I am in service to myself through the mother. My womb is flowing like the ocean, clearing and changing, moving and rising and falling. She is expanding my consciousness to show me the oneness of her creation. I am seasick with the floating of my soul, throwing up the old and drinking in the newness of my becoming. The seawater flushes my umbilical cord backward and forward. The ocean carries me on her body. I melt into her. She becomes my landscape, rocking me awake from my dreams of sorrow. The seawater burns my eyes. I open them wider so I can see. I am in love with the taste in the air, the caress of the wind on my nakedness, the movement of trees. I am in awe of the way they sway, up and down, around, and from side to side. But they have no choice. The wind is their lover, moving their parts gently, softly, wildly, and sometimes barely. Every day, all night. This dance between these lovers is my joy. The waves crashing against the rocks, the chirping of birds, the meowing of cats, the rustling of leaves. This is the musical canvas on which these lovers paint me.
Wow. I'm sitting right there in Maui. And you know, Maui is, you know, that's the island that is the woman, that is love, that is the heart, and I could just feel it as you were talking.
Oh. She caressed me and nursed me back to health. Just nursed me, just rocked me, just held me deeply so that I could breathe, I could catch my breath and breathe and become born again. Yeah, we're in the spirit of her oneness.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. How do I even recapture my own voice after that? Well, you know, we have about, I don't know, about 7 minutes or so left on the program. And what I wanted to ask you is there a piece that you would like to do live? I know we have one more recorded piece from you that I'm really looking forward to hearing. But is there anything you want to share live on the radio, something you may have written or that's just in your spirit to express?
Yeah, I do. I have this piece. Well, I have two pieces, but I'm gonna quickly choose between them.
Okay.
One of them is really close to me because it deals with the importance of a woman knowing herself in order to be in a relationship with a man.
Mm-hmm.
It deals with the importance of knowing the origin of the two-legged species so that we know what we are here for and how we are to manifest for our family and community. So it's called Earth. I'd like to do that.
Okay, let's go.
A woman finds out who she is through loving a man. We must set sail into the uncharted waters of self-discovery. We must pull up our anchors, stand naked at the bow of this unsteady but fully capable transport, and feel the wind surround us as we dissolve into the newness of yet becoming, while at the same time never losing sight of our hometown 100 miles away from the shore. Because it is this hometown of the self and the water around it that our men remember and are searching for. It is the stability of our earth and the baptism of our holy waters that can make them feel whole, safe, nurtured, and born again. A man is born once of the flesh and then again of the spirit. The first birth is from his mother. The second birth is from his wife. The gift to the evolution of our species that women freely give is that we are planted firmly in the earth, thereby having access to the unbreakable, unmovable strength of the oak and the super flexibility of the willow and the wisdom to choose each medicine in the proper time, in the proper dosage. This is the magic of loving a man.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful, Tosca. And you have to excuse me if sometimes I say Tosca, because, you know, you've been my sister so long, so I connect with you through all of these, right? And
yes.
That was great, and it certainly speaks to something in our time now where we're learning to fall in love with ourselves and fall in love with all around us. And so a beautiful expression around a man and loving that man. Let's go right to the second recorded piece that you sent, and then we're going to wrap up after this, okay?
And I want to add one more piece to that.
Oh, wait a minute. We've got this. It's going.
Okay. And owning oneself.
Okay, I stopped it. So let's go. Go ahead and say what.
Yeah, and also in owning oneself.
Mm-hmm.
To
yes.
Be engaging with others, but never, never, never losing sight of owning oneself.
Yes, and I think that the reclaiming, owning, and stepping forward in that is truly very important now. You know, I keep in my head and in a lot of my conversations, it's this whole circle of one, you know, that when we get that we're all one, that owning of that who, that piece that we are, that divine essence, that soul expression that we're here to be, then has the freedom, you know, to journey out there and to just weave us all back together. So thank you for saying the owning of it. Yes.
It doesn't help anyone to be involved in the concept of property ownership of others. Everyone owns their own self.
That's right. All right, so we're going to go out of Peace Talks with your second poetic expression that you sent, your spoken word piece. So,
yes.
Everyone, I hope that you have had an opportunity to listen to the entire show. We will get it up for you, an edited version, so that it'll be available for our listeners, and I'll make sure that you have a copy of that Walk on Water. We're going to go out of the show, actually segue out of the show with this piece, and I just wanted to say again, thank you. I'd love to have you back on. I feel like there's lots of things that we can share together, and
yes.
So I'm inviting you to be on our show, Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers, this Wednesday at 9, and I'll send you some information where we're just going to channel freely what's coming forward from the Divine Mother of all creation, and certainly that is us as well. So everyone, this is Walks on Water, soon to be released CD.
I have been washed in the river of forgetting. I have been beaten against my own rocks and purified like clarified butter. I have been wrung out and hung up to dry. The sun has bleached me to a brittle bone. The rain has drowned me along with my discontent. And I have emerged, renewed, and reborn. I am ready to stretch my arms and fly to my new destiny. I have kissed the prayers of my beads one by one, day by day, waiting for the return of sweet surrender. And now I walk in the clear sky of my bright tomorrow. My life now is so beautiful. It is like a well-tended rose garden. The sweet smell of joy, it wrapped itself around me like a fragrant cocoon of delicate and colorful butterfly wings. And I am home. I am home. Within myself, I am finally home.
I don't, you know what I think? I don't think my computer is actually online anymore.
Audrey?
I'm just going to have to assume that we're done.